You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, welcome. We're glad you're here. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie is out today. She will be back tomorrow, fingers crossed, hoping she feels better, a little under the weather. It's 7:06 and it is Monday. Just in case you are just waking up and you're groggy and you're like, what day is it? What time is it? One, congratulations on having a fun weekend. And two, it's 7:06 and it's Monday. And as always, things have happened over the weekend that you might have missed. Let's start with Iran. Some headlines coming out of the war that is now a month old and shows no sign of stopping, despite what we keep hearing from... and this just came in. The president issued a new threat to Iran's civilian infrastructure if ceasefire deal doesn't come through soon. I wonder if this is going to be another one of his, I'm giving you 5 days, all right, I'm giving you 10 days, all right, we'll see what happens. Well, Iran's parliament speaker accused the U.S. of, quote, secretly planning a ground invasion, end quote, while talking of negotiations. The USS Tripoli, carrying 3,500 U.S. service members, has arrived now in the Middle East. In other headlines, a top Iranian official warned the U.S. against a ground invasion, saying its troops would set on fire. As regional diplomats met Sunday in Pakistan in hopes of opening direct U.S.-Iran talks and ending the month-long war. If you want to see something really terrifying, I don't know if you've seen these, Parker. Iran's been putting out these Lego videos about the war.
Lego.
Yeah. Wow. And now they put one out that's about, because there's been the threat of the president taking over Harang Island. And so Iran put out a video of that, and it is not good. Not good. But yes, we're no talks yet. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced that Israel will widen its invasion of Lebanon. Netanyahu said Israel would expand what he calls the existing security strip in southern Lebanon as Israeli forces target the Iranian-backed Hezbollah militant group. More coming out of the region. Pakistan said the foreign ministers of Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and Egypt met in Islamabad without U.S. or Israel participation, days after the U.S. offered Iran a 15-point action list as a framework for a possible peace deal. The ministers are expected to meet again today. Again, no U.S. or Israeli participation in those talks, and we know the 15-point action list was poo-pooed by Iran. Elsewhere, the Latin Patriarchate and Israeli police stopped church leaders celebrating Mass on Palm Sunday as Israeli authorities restrict access to religious sites in East Jerusalem. It came as Pope Leo rejected attempts to co-opt God as justification for war. Specifically, he called out our Secretary of Defense, Pistol Pete Hegseth, because you've been seeing a lot, especially during CPAC, a lot of so-called Christians, and I am not anti-Christian, I am anti-Christian nationalism, but a lot of these so-called Christians who are using God as a bludgeoning force to justify the war and calling down God's wrath, and Hegseth is really doing it a lot, and it's become troubling. To say the least, to not only people who are not really religious, but to former military executives, and it's just not done in war, because in the past, history has shown that American military leaders do not want any engagement that the U.S. has to be viewed as a religious war. That's why Desert Storm or one of those, Dick Cheney changed the name of, I think it was Desert Storm, to make sure that it didn't come across as a religious kind of conflict. And that's been done by other administrations in the past. So we'll see. Let's check on this latest update. We got this coming up. The president saying the American forces could seize Karg Island, its main oil terminal in the Persian Gulf. So we'll get to that and the threat of bombing more civilian infrastructure. That's just wonderful. I thought, and I know war is ugly and war is, you know, there are always casualties, but when I didn't think you said or purposely tried to bomb civilians or civilian infrastructure. I thought that was just how it was done. But that's just me. All right, you know what? That's the Iran war. That's the Persian Gulf region. That's the Middle East, where all tensions seem to come from. But that's not true. There are tensions here at home, Parker. That's why people have some stuff they need to know. Oh, there is always you need to know. So, good news, or is it? You be the judge. The administration officials say TSA workers will receive paychecks in the next couple of days. Very vague. Is it 2 weeks? I don't know. That's the usual. Let's hope not. If you are a TSA agent, I know you were listening to a lot of talk yesterday and you were being told, oh, checks are coming out today, but it's like the old joke, Parker, checks in the mail. That always meant you hadn't paid your bill, but the check was in the mail.
Well,
and it was, you'll get it when you get it. So they say workers will receive paychecks in the next couple days because the president just has a plan to unilaterally fund the agency. Congress remains in a stalemate over the Department of Homeland Security shutdown. You know this, and it is a, it's getting harder and harder for Republicans to blame other people, isn't it? Trump on Friday issued a promise executive action that TSA employees be paid immediately. Quote, I hereby direct the Secretary of Homeland Security in coordination with the Director of the Office of Management and Budget to use funds that have a reasonable and logical nexus to TSA operations to provide TSA employees with the compensation and benefits that would have accrued to them if not for the Democratic-led DHS shutdown consistent with applicable law, end quote. That was what the president wrote. The big question, obviously, that came out of this weekend was, if we had the money all along, why didn't he just pay him? But that's too easy a question, because the answer would be, well, that would have taken away some of not only Republican talking points, but what they perceived as bargaining power. Now, you know that roughly 61,000 TSA employees are missing their second full paycheck. You also know that Congress then skedaddled for a 2-week vacation. The Senate moved to fund most of the department, including TSA, though not Immigration Enforcement and Border Patrol, which it needs to be reiterated that has already been funded through the Big Beautiful Bill. They have money to operate ICE. They just want more money. So the Democrats were saying, no, we're not going to give you more money when you're already funded until you meet some of these criteria. Well, then everybody started hearing that from their constituents that this was not a good plan. People were waiting up to 4 hours in security lines at airports. People were miserable. Everything seems to be going wrong. Gas prices, grocery prices, everything is shooting up. So in a unanimous vote, there was actually negotiation. And the Senate voted yes. We're going to do this partial funding. It gets TSA back going. It gets FEMA back funded. It gets the Coast Guard back funded. They didn't give in to all, the Republicans didn't give in to all the demands from the Democrats, but it's a negotiation. It's a compromise. Then they send this bill over to the House, and the Senate has already said, yes, let's pay these people their money. If I can quote John Malkovich from Rounders, give that man his money. Well, then Mike Johnson gets this bill. He doesn't even bring it to the floor. He calls it a joke and said he would put forth his own short-term spending bill that would fully fund the agency for 8 weeks. And then, without a vote, he left. So, riddle me this, Batman. Whose fault is it now? The president and House Republicans are still blaming the Democrats. And now the Republicans in the House are blaming the Republicans in the Senate. So this is, if you are hopeful about any sort of change, this is good when they're fighting amongst themselves, because the united front is no longer united. Unfortunately, it means that TSA may have to wait a little longer. We'll see. Closer to home, This is this we talked about when it first came up, and a lot of people not happy about it. Well, don't worry. The proposal to rename part of County Highway K in Washington County after Charlie Kirk, the late conservative activist, is no longer being considered. Triumph for the good guys. Jeffrey Schleif, chair of the Washington County Board of Supervisors, cited cost as the reason. He said, as Washington County has contemplated the renaming of a highway, we have learned that the actual cost is substantially higher than first known. While we wish the process had gone smoother, this matter is no longer under consideration. There will be no further comment on this issue. Hey, whether it's true or not that they didn't anticipate how high the cost was, I love that he dropped it. We can't afford it. It's not happening. It's like what your dad said when you wanted a pony, Parker. Don't have the money. Too expensive. He didn't want to say that you'd get chafed and saddle sores. He didn't want to tell you any of that. He just said, we can't afford it. That's the way it goes. According to the proposal, signage for the section of roadway was estimated to cost $50,000. So now if we believe the chairman of the County Board of Supervisors, it was going to cost more than that. They don't want to spend it. And the signs that would have been visible from Interstate 41, also the proposal drew a lot of backlash. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, they stood there in Washington County hating the idea of Charlie Kirk's sign, if I may paraphrase the great Dr. Seuss. In other news, ICE agents may remain at airports even after the TSA gets paid. But why, you may wonder? Well, White House border czar Tom Homan suggested Sunday that ICE agents deployed to airports may remain there even after Transportation Security Agency officers are paid this week. He was on CNN on State of the Union, and Homan said, quote, we'll see, when he was asked by Jake Tapper whether Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents will leave airports after TSA personnel are paid. Homan said, some of that decision will depend on whether TSA agents come back to work. And if you listened to the union president, that's going to take a while for the ones who quit, because they have to not only go through the process of hiring new ones, they have to train them, and their specialized training takes a while. So we might still see extended lines at the airport, only because now the workers who called in sick, with the air quotes, they'll probably come back, because now they're getting their, in theory, they'll get all their back pay, they'll get all their benefits, everything will be good. But all the ones that quit, that's going to be another issue. TSA agents will get paid hopefully tomorrow or Tuesday, according to Homan. That comes after Trump saying he would just unilaterally have them paid. And Congress once again has failed to strike that deal. And now they're off for 2 weeks while the rest of the country continues to burn. All right, we've got big elections coming up here in Wisconsin. April 7th is the Supreme Court election, and a couple more elections this year in Wisconsin. And you may be thinking, Brian, I want to vote for some ladies. It's time to get more women, not only in public office, in the assembly, but on the bench and everywhere else. How is Wisconsin doing when it comes to women in public office? Well, we're going to talk to Amanda Sherman Beatty from Emily's List, and we're going to talk about women candidates and what Emily's List does to get women candidates on the ballots. And they have some endorsements in case that's something you're interested in. So we're going to talk all about ladies in politics, women running for office and getting the job done, because, you know, men have had their run and things could be a little better. I think we can all agree. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie Martinson is out today, but that does not mean that this is still not Daybreak on the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It is Swiper's Day. Welcome. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie's out today. And I teased something else, which we are going to do at 7:30, but I can't tell time. That's why I'll tell you it's 7:23, in case you're like me and you're looking at the clock and not realizing it's not 7:30, it's 7:23. Anyway, now Jamie's not here, so I am going to propose that Parker take Jamie's place today. We will have no tiebreaker. Frank, you will be the ultimate tiebreaker because you have written the stories. Or I could always pull rank, and even if there is a tie, I will
Hold on.
What?
Let's get something straight around here. I make the rules for this game.
All right. Well,
so
what do you
how
want
this
to do
is going? I'm going to tell you how this is going to work.
Wow. All right.
Okay.
Slow your roll, Jackson.
For Swipe or Stay today, I'm going to read some vague pop culture headlines. Brian and Parker will decide whether or not to swipe or stay, and I will be the tiebreaker. So, Brian, you're right. That is exactly what I had planned. But I'm the one who makes the rules around here.
Okay. It's his segment.
This is my segment.
I sit corrected. All right. I'm good. I'm rightfully chastised, and now it's time to play.
All right. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please. I think there's going to be a lot of staying. That's just my hunch, but.
All right.
NFL captain says he doesn't want to play.
Hey, we're doing sporty sports today.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay.
Sporty sports. We're staying.
So Derwin James, defensive captain of the LA Chargers, says current players should not play in the upcoming flag football games in the 2028 Olympics.
Oh, okay.
See, I threw a little curveball at you.
Yeah, you did.
So, I don't know if you guys saw, I think it was Fanatics that put on, like, the flag football game, where it was, like, former NFL players and some current players against, like, actual flag football players. So, Derwin James, after that game, said, I think the flag football players should play instead, alluding to the fact that he doesn't think anybody that's starting in the NFL should be risking injury.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Was his main purpose for it.
That's part of it. I think there's also the part that the flag football players have a different skill set that work better for flag football.
He said that too. He said, I think they're better equipped for these Olympic games. So he went on to say, I say the next Olympics, give them boys this one because I feel they're more prepared. They're more skilled. I mean, you've seen the formations they was running out there. It was crazy. He also went on to say that maybe some former retired NFL players should throw their hats into the ring. Yeah. So you just know Tom Brady's going to try and be the quarterback.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Hey, listen, he's itching to get back. He hasn't done enough.
Brian, I don't know if you saw the clip, but Brady threw an absolute dime to the corner of the end zone in that game.
He did.
In the flag football game.
Yeah.
I did not watch the flag football game, but
I didn't either, but I saw that clip and I was like, ooh, he still got it, baby. He still got it.
Well, I'm sure he does, so flag football might be in. All right, story number two.
We have a comedian that is calling for the military draft.
I know this story, and I don't want to give this guy any publicity. I am going to swipe.
As a man who is likely to be drafted, I will swipe. Don't want to know more about it.
Oh, come on.
You can do it. There's your hint, Parker.
There's your hint. Yeah, he's too busy suckling from the teat of Adam Sandler's
not
success.
Anymore.
Actually, I don't think he has been for a while.
No. No,
we
he
have
hasn't.
An A-list musician defending Diddy.
Ooh. Oh. Wow, who's coming to Diddy's defense? Stay.
Yeah, I'm staying.
If you had to guess who is coming to Diddy's defense?
It'd be R. Kelly and the ghost of Michael Jackson.
I was also thinking R. Kelly, yeah.
It's actually Usher.
Oh,
really?
As in, headlined the Super Bowl 2 years ago, Usher.
Okay.
So, Usher came out and said in an interview with Forbes that... What did he call it? He said it was misrepresented. All the statements were misrepresenting Mr. Diddy, and he has nothing bad to say about the man and all of his interactions with him.
Wow, what does Diddy have on Usher?
So that was my thought, but also, for everyone that doesn't know, Diddy was convicted of prostitution charges this past year, right?
Right on.
And last year. And although sex trafficking and racketeering charges were dropped, you still have a lot of people coming out with some bold allegations about you.
Yes, and the hoarding of baby oil is inexcusable.
Yeah, I'm not going to get too much into the weeds on this because there's one more story I really want to get to.
All right. Here we go.
Because it is the Sporty Sports Show. We have a star athlete that has got himself into trouble yet again.
Oh.
We have not talked about it.
I know it, but let's do it because I can't believe it. This,
yeah.
I feel bad.
This sucks.
Do you feel, what? What do you mean
I feel
you
bad
feel
that he
bad?
Needs, here's why I feel bad. I feel bad that he needs help.
Yeah.
He obviously needs meetings. He needs intervention. He has a problem with drinking. And that's why I feel bad that he needs help. And so he's allowing his addiction to ruin his life and possibly, potentially, the life of other people. That's why I feel bad. I don't feel bad that he got arrested.
So the person we're talking about is Tiger Woods, who's back in the media again for non-golf-related issues. This time he was charged with a DUI after crashing and rolling his Range Rover in Florida. Now, here's what's important. Tiger blew a 0.0 of alcohol. Authorities believe he was under the influence of prescription drugs. So you're right, Brian. He probably does have an addiction of some sort.
Well, he's rolled more cars than a monster truck rally. This guy, when he gets in an accident, you got to give it
to him.
He's
going all,
he takes it
all out.
Yeah. He's going over a cliff. He's going over a fire hydrant. He's flipping his car. He's getting his car windows bashed in by his ex-wife with a golf club. Oh, yeah. He does it big, but it's derailing everything. Frank, another stellar edition of Swipe or Stay.
Thank you.
We'll get to more and the aforementioned good morning. It's 7:35. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie is out today, but she is hopefully back tomorrow. A little bit under the weather, so we're wishing her well. Beautiful day in Wisconsin, so if you get a chance, get out and, as the kids like to say, touch some grass. Well, over the last 40 years or so, more and more women have been running for and getting elected to public office. While progress has been made, there is more work to be done. How does Wisconsin measure up when it comes to women in public office, and what women candidates who are in this election deserve your attention and possibly your vote? I'm joined by Amanda Sherman Beatty. She's Chief Communications Officer for Emily's List. We're going to find that out. Emily'sList.org is the website. Amanda, thank you for being here. As a native of Milwaukee, and welcome back to Wisconsin. We're glad you're here. First off, can you tell us what Emily's List is and what you folks do there?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. So Emily's List is an acronym, actually. It stands for Early Money is Like Yeast, because it makes the dough rise. So when we were founded in 1985, there is no Emily. That is a surprising fact that some don't know. When this was founded in 1985, it was because women candidates just weren't, one, they weren't really running for office, but they also weren't able to get the resources they needed to run for office. And so a group of women came together and they started adding just a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there that they could do every month. And slowly they were able to build a fundraising juggernaut that actually helped Barbara Mikulski get into the Senate and really shaped and turned the tide of women's political leadership in elected office. And so that's where we started from. And then obviously over these years, we've come a really long way in terms of representation of women in politics. And you can see that from right now, we have the country's first vice president. We had 193 women in the House, 29 elected to the Senate, 22 governors, and over 1,600 Emily's List women have been elected to state and local office. So
and this is a Democrat. This is a Democratic organization,
yes,
correct?
A Democratic organization. We elect Democratic pro-choice women. So that has been kind of our guiding light and guiding principle throughout all this time. Obviously, it was pre-Dobbs, and now post-Dobbs, that is obviously even more important than it has ever been. And so we have been excited to stand with some really bold, authentic leaders through both the 2018 election, through kind of all of the different challenges this country's faced over these last 45 years. Women leaders, Democratic women leaders, have really stood up and been part of kind of the sea change that brings our country back. And so we're excited to continue doing that in this cycle. We've done that in Wisconsin, as you know, frequently. And I'm just excited kind of going into this time in our country and what we're facing in these midterms and even the odd year elections. It's really more important than ever.
Other than the old mindset of, well, and this is mostly for president, but it weighed in other offices as well, that old mindset of, oh, America's just not ready for a female leader. We obviously are. to a certain level. What's the biggest challenge for a female candidate that's different from a male candidate? Because you mentioned first it was they couldn't raise money. And now I know part of Emily's list is to train candidates who are going to run. So what's the difference between training a female candidate for a race and a male candidate?
I think the thing that everyone will tell you is it's women often have to be asked multiple times to run. They have to think that they're like ready and super qualified to jump into the race. And I think we're seeing that less and less, but it still is, what does it mean to run? A lot of women who run don't come from the traditional backgrounds. They've got to set up a campaign infrastructure. They've got to figure out, when I run, like, how do I put my bio out there and explain to people why I'm doing this? What like actual just like infrastructure do I need? And that's really where Emily's List comes in. We work with them from the ground up when they're even thinking about running. We're like, hey, honest perspective, this is what it looks like to run for office. And that has changed a lot over time. I think it's still an incredibly daunting task, and especially in this divisive of an environment, but we're really heartened by how many women are stepping up and being like, I've never been in the political arena. I have no idea what this entails, but I'm sick and tired of what I'm seeing in this country, in my community. I'm worried about my kids. Like, it is time for me to like, I think I can do better. And it's time for me to get in this fight. And so we kind of help them think through from start to finish, what is getting a campaign manager? How do you like put your name on the ballot? Like, what does that process take?
Right.
Like, every little detail, there is nothing kind of too big or too small that we work through with our candidates.
I'm guessing the biggest hurdle for any candidate has got to be the raising the money. And so how does, for somebody like you mentioned, your example of a woman who is, you know, she's got really good ideas, she's concerned about her community, she wants to run, but she's never been in politics. All of a sudden, she talks to you guys at Emily's List, and you're like, okay, realistically, it's going to cost this much money to mount a successful campaign. That number, I would think, is going to be so daunting that it might discourage really good candidates from running. So how do you overcome that?
I think it's a question. It really depends on kind of the race, but it also is, what we do is we have an amazing team of campaign services folks who sit down and are like, actually, there's probably more money in your network that you know of, that's just in your community, that wants to give, that wants the type of leadership you're running to provide. And so it doesn't actually start out as daunting, because we think through, okay, who could you ask? If you ask your neighbor, and then your neighbor has a friend, and it's just a really, beyond the Emily's List network, it's just building kind of the network that already exists. And you'd be shocked, and I think a lot of our women are, of how many folks, it's never easy, they will tell you it's never easy, but how many folks, once they start talking about what they want to do, are like, yes, I need that in our, like, I want that in my elected official. I want that in our leadership. Like, I'm absolutely happy to give $5, $10, introduce you to a friend who would also give $5, $10. And that's really been the strength of both Emily's List, but also our women candidates. They build these grassroots donor networks that stand up to powerful money, powerful special interests. We've seen that, obviously, you guys know in Wisconsin, you've seen that when Elon came in for the Supreme Court race. Like, you're always going to be outspent here, but when you have kind of the vision that people are looking for, it really allows you to go toe-to-toe in a very effective way and eventually win.
Amanda Sherman-Beatty is my guest. She's Chief Communications Officer for Emily's List. Emily'sList.org is the website. All right, Amanda, let's look at Wisconsin. How is Wisconsin measuring up as far as ladies or females in elected office to the rest of the country? How are we doing here?
I mean, you're doing good. There's obviously more work to do. I think the thing where Wisconsin is really shining is with our state Supreme Court justices. Obviously, that is, it has the highest percentage of female state Supreme Court justices in the country.
Nice.
And you have a chance this spring to elect another one.
Yes,
exactly. Long time Emily's List woman, Chris Taylor. And so I think that is really exciting. And I think seeing the strides, and obviously in Wisconsin, as you know, they've had some pretty skewed maps for a very long time.
Yes, they have.
I am excited, as someone who has been in and around Wisconsin politics for a few decades at this point now. It's really exciting to see kind of in this year the opportunity that women are going to have up and down the ballot here.
Well, since you mentioned Chris Taylor, one, I'm talking to her next hour, so that'll be very exciting to talk to her. But let's talk about some of the endorsements, because one of them is State Supreme Court. Now, you mentioned just a second ago, Chris Taylor has been on Emily's List website for, or what, not website, radar for a long time. So you are endorsing this, not a surprise, Chris Taylor for Supreme Court. What is it about Chris Taylor that makes you want to tell people, no, this is the person you should vote for Supreme Court?
I think it's the perspective that she brings. Like, she has really been at the forefront of standing up for Wisconsin families and Wisconsinites for the bulk of her career. And that's exactly the type of perspective you want to see on the state Supreme Court. You want someone who understands what these issues in front of them mean and is going to look at them from a fairness perspective and understand what it takes as these kind of come ahead of their lived experience. And I think that is truly what is one of the most powerful things about her.
And you've got, there are other Emily's List women who are in power. Another Supreme Court justice that you guys endorse, Susan Crawford, is there. Same kind of thing with Susan Crawford's qualifications that led to her endorsement?
I think it's exactly the same with Susan Crawford, with Janet Persiewicz. These are, I think you have seen kind of what Wisconsin was up against up until we started winning Supreme Court races. And I think this has really been a marked change in the perspectives they are bringing. You are seeing in the judgments and rulings they're having come down. And like, that is making an impact in everyday Wisconsinites' lives. And I think especially going into the next election, going into a presidential election, it is really important to have, going into redistricting in whatever version redistricting now takes in this country. Yeah. It is very important to have leaders like this on the state Supreme Court.
Amanda, we know, and you know this from being here, very purple in Wisconsin. The Assembly and the Senate still have a Republican majority. How does Emily's List and Democrats in general get more women into the Senate, into the Assembly? I know we've got some female candidates that are new, as you said, that are running. They had never run before. What's the secret? How do you convince not only the women to run, but then Democrats to get out and support these women?
I think it really is the unique perspectives these women are bringing. I think it is at a point in this country where people know, and the state too, where people know things just aren't working. And the legislature is not working for them and has not been working for them. And it's getting, I mean, it has been apparent for a while, but I think the degree to which is getting more and more apparent. And really having these candidates like Robin Vining, like Jenna Jacobson, who can go out, like Lori Palmer, who can go out and they can say, here's like the real tangible things I want to do for you guys if I am elected. This is like what we can do if we take back power in the state legislature. We can actually move policies forth. We no longer have to be beholden to kind of this Republican stop everything. Nothing is going to be passed here. Nothing is going to move. And it's really the families, not just of Democrats, independents, it's just regular Wisconsinites that it's hurting. And I think that at this point in time is really a motivating factor for voters.
Amanda, we got about a minute left, but the big question, came close in the last election, finally getting a female president. Do you foresee in your lifetime, are we going to get a female president? I hope so.
Absolutely.
I hope.
Absolutely. I think we will absolutely get it. And I do think this election and the women who are going to take back power, it is going to be Emily's List women, both at the state level and the federal level, who take back the House majority, who give us a path to a potential Senate majority, no matter how narrow, and who win in state and local levels and stand up to Trump for the final 2 years. Because even if we take back power, Trump will still be there, unfortunately, post-November 2026. And I think Emily's List women are at the center of the fight. And so I do believe we are setting up for a female president at some point. But in the interim, I'm excited about the women we have running.
There you go. And if a lady's listening now and she's like, you know what, I have a lot of good ideas and I care, emilyslist.org. And what would your one quick piece of advice, if somebody is sitting there and she is like, you know what, I think I can make a difference, What's the first thing they should do? Contact Emily's List?
Absolutely do it and contact Emily's List. We want to help you. We want to get you into this fight. So absolutely find us at emilyslist.org.
Amanda, thank you so much for being here. Amanda Sherman Beatty is the Chief Communications Officer for Emily's List. Emily'sList.org is the website. Appreciate your time today, Amanda. Thanks so much. Have a great week.
Thanks. You too.
Thank you very much. All right. The saga has ended. Good news in Wisconsin, and I'm sorry you're going to miss this, Amanda, but Chesney the Kangaroo, the saga is over. Or is it? We'll discuss after this on Daybreak. I'm Brian Newton. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Thing is, I am neither one of those things. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie is out today because she's a little bit under the weather. Hopefully we have her back tomorrow. It is 7:53. It's a Monday morning. You are here on Daybreak. We're glad you're here. Hey, hey, big news. Hey, hey, another giveaway here on Daybreak, Parker. This
again?
Is exciting. Yes. Why would I stop giving things away just because Jamie's not here?
That's a good
point. We constantly are bribing people to stay and listen, and I'm not above it. I'm not ashamed of it. Don't at me. Just announced, John Mulaney is the latest Bank 5-9 main stage headliner at the Wisconsin State Fair this year. John Mulaney, hilarious. Really, really funny. You'll have a blast. He's an SNL veteran, award-winning comedian. He's going to, quote, light up the stage for his... I'm glad, because if he was performing in the dark, that would suck.
That'd be weird.
It'd be weird, yeah, right? Doing stand up in the dark. It's like when Frank does the voice of God. I don't want to sit on the speedway with a voice of God blaring at me. I want to see this guy. Well, he's going to light up the stage with his new Mr. Whatever set. Tickets are on sale now at the Wisconsin State Fair. But don't go buy them just yet, because I'm not kidding. We are going to give you a shot at a pair of tickets right now on our website. Oh, the website. Go to WRJN.com and hit the John Mulaney page for your shot at winning a pair of tickets. Just fill out the form and hit send. It's that easy. You have until Sunday, April 5th to enter. That's Easter, so you have all week. I have fun facts and talking points. Parker, also do me a favor. Make sure it's just the WRJN.com website.
Yes,
for this.
I will do that.
All right. Thank you. John Mulaney grew up in Chicago. He frequently tours the Midwest. We love him. He started as a writer for SNL. You know it. He's just really funny. And he does a lot of... He wrote Stefan, Bill Hader's character. Oh, this state fair has everything. Corn dogs. And you know the bit. So there you go. And he also auditioned against Macaulay Culkin for the part of Kevin in Home Alone. So go to the website and... we're going to double check right now. It says WRJN.com.
Yes.
And fill out the thing.
It is WRJN.com. If you go, you look at the homepage, it's in the carousel there. It'll kind of rotate in there. You'll find it.
Perfect.
John Mulaney, you can win some tickets there. Yeah.
Yeah. You get to win a pair of tickets. Go see John Mulaney at the State Fair. It sounds like a good time. You know what else is a good time, Parker? When you find your pet. If you've ever lost a pet, you know how heart-wrenching it can be and how anxiety-prone you will be until that pet comes home. Now imagine that pet is a kangaroo wearing jean diapers.
Oh.
Yes, that is the story here in Wisconsin. We've been following it with unparalleled attention because Chesney, the 16-month-old kangaroo,
yes,
who escaped outside an enclosure in Nisada on March 25th after being frightened by some unknown dogs, is home.
Oh, thank goodness.
I know. Take a breath. Whew. Chesney usually resides at the Sunshine Farm Petting Zoo, which sounds like where Snoopy came from, but it's not. Now, he got a lot of online attention, this Chesney, because he bolted. So Sunshine Farm's owner, Debbie Marland, confirmed with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that the kangaroo is home. There are two kangaroos, Chesney and Kenny. Get it? Get it?
Nope.
You don't get it, Parker?
Nope.
Kenny Chesney is a huge country music star.
Oh, I do know. Okay. Yes, I do know that name. Okay.
So Chesney and Kenny usually stay in the house because they're part of the family, which, all right. People who have exotic animals in their homes.
That's a large pet.
I wonder about them. I don't cast judgment. I just wonder about it. So Chesney's comfortable. The family has five dogs. Chesney loves these dogs. They're fine. But on the morning of March 25th, oh boy, he was in the outdoor enclosure and several unknown dogs approached. That shark music, but I don't have attacking dog music. Chesney became frightened. He scaled the enclosure wall and hopped over the fence. Lesson number one for Sunshine Farm Petting Zoo. Put a top on that enclosure.
Yeah, kangaroos can jump.
Yeah, and Chesney, obviously a flight risk at this point. So the search for Chesney had a big lead before anybody knew he was gone. So he was out there, and just before 1:30 on March 28th, a drone spotted him. Then eight people split into two groups. They tried to get him. They surrounded Chesney, but he's wily, not a coyote, a kangaroo. And he escaped. Yes. So then Saturday morning, the search continued, and they put out a call for any volunteers to drive down the street where Chesney had been spotted. Early Saturday afternoon, it was reported that he had been found and was on his way home. Now, I don't know if he was tackled and thrown in a car and then brought home, but I wouldn't want to wrestle a kangaroo.
Yeah, how do you?
Or if he just decided, oh, man, being out here is kind of, I don't like it. I like my enclosure. Where are my dog friends at home? Where's Kenny? I got to get back to Kenny.
Yeah.
We don't know how he got home, but he's home. Yeah. And I was shocked when I saw the picture that the kangaroo was dressed like John Cena in jean shorts. But that Parker pointed out to me, that's to cover up his diaper, which makes sense because I don't know. We were theorizing during the show within a show, which is always on the YouTube stream. If you could potty train or house train a kangaroo, I don't know.
You probably can, I would assume, right?
I would assume you can teach them to go outside. Or maybe the coyotes have a tell, or the coyotes, the kangaroo, the kangaroos have a tell when they need to go to the bathroom. Like one of my dogs will go to the door and scratch, the other one will just whine.
Yeah.
So maybe kangaroos have a similar tell when they have to go to the bathroom.
Maybe they're
tailed. But they also could
just
lean back on their tail and kick the door out.
See, that's, I'm picturing like a doggy door. And
for
the
kangaroo?
Yeah.
Now, and is it it's at a full the top of the door so they have to jump through it? Or is it on the bottom of the door so they slither through on the
belly? I don't
belly?
Mind that idea. I was picturing like...
I don't either.
I was picturing the kangaroo like leans back, kicks the door open, and it's like got it like slowly comes back down, so it's got plenty of time to go out the door.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you put a giant hand, like a push bar, on,
yeah.
and the
yeah.
kangaroo uses its
do
feet
that.
To push the...
Yeah, and all the hinge right, is at the top.
Parker, you should take that on Shark Tank. Sell it for everybody who has kangaroos.
All your
pets.
Kangaroo pets will now be able to get outside on their own. You're welcome.
If you're listening on WMDX, you're going to be leaving, but you can always listen on the stream. Download that. For the rest of you, we will be back with Hour 3 and so much more. It's Daybreak. I'm Brian Newman from the city.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.